Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing this fine summer day?
Oh, I love this weather.
I know. It's just got a little cool, right?
I can't
hear. 95, right? Like high 80s. You can live with that.
I had the top down this morning. Did you?
No. It's too quick of a drive for me.
Oh, really? No, it's quick for me too, but I like to have the top down. So, Lee, I've been listening to all kinds of talk radio because I've been traveling so much for work.
You don't bring podcasts of all the shows we do?
Well,
to reminisce?
You know, that only lasts so long, right? And then I'm listening to this talk radio. I think we need to have more of a shtick. You need
think?
A shtick, yeah. You need to be
I'll
a little
try
more.
To be funnier?
A little more controversy, maybe.
Okay. We'll pick up maybe when we can talk about politics, healthcare. Those issues.
Exactly. I think today we need to talk about healthcare, sausage, and recruiting talent.
There you go.
How controversial is that? But I do want to update you on the chicken mystery. You know, something, my egg production has been way down.
It's been down.
So a friend of mine that owns a security company set this security camera up in the coop.
Oh, to see what's going on there.
Okay.
What's going on? Animals?
Well, I thought it was a snake, chipmunk. It's my dog.
Your dog my goes dog. In there at night?
No, my dog has figured out how to unlock the coop and lock it.
Oh,
so
very
now
clever.
The camera is going the other way, so we can see how that happens. But he does. He goes in. As soon as the hen gets out of the box, he goes in and eats the egg.
He eats the egg?
He eats the egg.
So the eggs are being produced. Your dog is just eating them.
Wow,
interesting.
So
and the shell, the whole thing.
The whole thing. And that's why his coat, I think, is so shiny
good.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I met the Chicken Whisperer on Saturday, and he's coming on the show in October.
Good. I would hope so, because it's getting more and more popular. You're not the only one doing this, you know.
Well, he's got his own show. He's got his own radio show.
Good.
Every Wednesday, hour and a half.
Just on chickens?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Scary. Anyway, there's a couple things that I could probably talk for an hour and a half about, and one of them is healthcare. Our first guest this morning, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio, Doug Field.
Thank you, Amy and Lee. It's a pleasure being here.
Well, Doug, Field Media, you're here to talk a little bit about that. You're the publisher and CEO, but you also have an event you want to talk to us about. So maybe, how should we start this? Maybe give us a little bit of a background on the landscape of healthcare and what you do.
Okay. Field Media, first of all, is a national media company, and we publish actually two magazines serving the employer marketplace, employersweb.com and CDHC Solutions. And CDHC Solutions was launched in 2007 to serve this changing healthcare landscape. And the healthcare landscape, as we all know, has been punctuated by accelerated change with the healthcare law being put in effect March 1st. We actually focus on addressing the healthcare law and educating employers on what the coming changes are, as well as communicating to brokers, consultants, TPAs who are working with employers. We also focus on healthcare consumerism because we believe that, you know, a lot of the change in the market is coming from market reform and with the changing focus on the consumer, meaning the employee consumer. So our event coming up next Thursday here in Atlanta, we're happy to bring this event to Atlanta, is Consumer Directed Healthcare Solutions Forum. It'll be Thursday at the Cobb Galleria, and it will, again, focus on the healthcare law and the changes that the law is going to bring to employers, how employers can stay in compliance, and we'll focus on market reform and healthcare consumerism. We've got leading speakers, Ron Bachman from here in Atlanta, who is with the Center of Health Transformation, a senior fellow, John Young, VP Healthcare Consumerism with Cigna, Roy Rantham, who actually served on the Bush administration and in the formation of health savings accounts, and John Hickman, a leading partner here with Alston Bird, talking about health plan compliance.
Wow, that's a lot, all in one day.
All in one day.
I mean, I'm looking at the menu right now, or the lineup of speakers and times. I mean, that's a lot of information and valuable information. Who do you expect to attend? What types of folks?
First and foremost, employers, mid to large to even small employers, HR benefits executives, inside employer groups, financial executives. And the whole theme of this event is, and is based upon an employer's busy time schedule, but their tremendous need to know. So we have put it into a very full one-day seminar and conference. Because employers just don't have the time today to go to a 2 to 3 day event or be out of the office for that amount of time. The second and third groups that will be in attendance are the brokers working with employers, of course, the benefit consultants, third-party administrators working with self-funded health plans, as well as the solution providers in this space.
What great information. I see on the lineup as well there's someone talking about HSAs. There's a lot of controversy right now, a lot of talk about HSAs, HRAs, FSAs, and the way that will be changing over the course of the next 2, 4, 5 years. What a great way to come to one event and find the updates on all of those things. Tell us a little bit about how the event came about. Is this the first year?
This is the first year. You know, I've been publishing the magazine since 2007. We have an audience of over 60,000 employers, consultants, and brokers. And the conference is just really a natural extension of the magazine and our web community. It's actually bringing our magazine and our web community to life. And after a lot of research in the, around the landscape of other conferences, you know, we just saw a tremendous void in the fact that there was no single event focused exclusively on consumer-directed healthcare.
That's very true. And I like the way you approach it, too, consumer-driven healthcare. Can you explain that a little bit to our listeners that might be still kind of confused with all the jargon?
Sure. You know, sometimes consumer-driven healthcare is looked at as just health savings accounts married to a high deductible plan. Mm-hmm. But actually, consumer-driven healthcare is a lot deeper and wider than that. It ranges from account-based plans to the changing face of supplemental health benefits, to education communication programs, to total population health and wellness. And all of those solutions focused on the consumer, the employee consumer, and empowering the consumer to become more responsible for their health and well-being and to become better purchasers of healthcare. Because when we look at the marketplace, you know, and look at the tremendous burden employers have with healthcare costs, the missing link has been empowering the consumers to take some accountability and responsibility for that cost. And it's not just cost shifting, which can be perceived as a negative term. It's what I like to call cost shifting with a purpose. Employees empowering their or employers empowering their employees to take responsibility for their health and well-being and providing them with decision support tools and solutions so they can become healthier and they can become better educated to become better purchasers of healthcare. And the end result of that is going to be A more productive workforce, and B, costs are going to lower across the landscape. Mm-hmm. Because when a doctor has to deal with a consumer asking questions they've never known how to ask before,
right,
the costs are going to come in line.
That's so true. And, you know, statistics show actually that people spend more time shopping for a new flat screen TV than they do shopping for their health care or even really thinking about it and knowing that there are options and there are so many of them.
How has the interest been for the conference?
It is very good, very, very good. I mean, you know, any time you're launching a conference, Lee, you know, you've got a tremendous education challenge getting out to the masses, and employers are very burdened with a lot of challenges. But I think when they look at our program, they're signing up to attend.
So how are you getting the word out?
Through our magazine, through direct mail, email, and actually we have teams on the phone actually talking to employers, actually calling into companies, talking to employers, and thank you for being on this program, another way to get our message out.
That's right. That's how people are finding out about it. If people want to attend the conference, how can they go about signing up?
They can actually go to our website, which is www.cdhcsolutionsforum.com, or they can call us at 404-671-9551.
Can you touch on the Healthcare Navigator?
Yeah, the health reform navigator is actually. Thanks for picking up on that, Amy.
Health reform. I said healthcare. Health reform navigator.
Yeah. Health reform navigator is actually a new solution that we're launching to the marketplace, produced in conjunction with Ron Bachman, who's chairman of my editorial advisory board. And it was Ron's idea. We looked at the landscape of information and the tremendous guidelines and dates out there and a lot of expert organizations producing expert advice. But no one had pulled it together and put it into one place. Mm-hmm. And Health Reform Navigator is a single solution that contains all the different expert opinions, all the different guideline and timeline information as it relates to health reform. And this includes the preventive care guidelines as well. So not just the health insurance guidelines, but also the preventive care guidelines.
Now, so what's your take? You deal with these experts all the time. Are people excited about this? Are they dreading this? Is there, you know?
I think that...
What's the street? What's happening on the street?
No one likes change. And with healthcare consumerism, let alone the healthcare law, you know, we have the whole value chain going through change from solution providers to the consultants, the brokers, to employers. Everyone in the value chain is going through change, and then certainly the employee consumers. So, Lee, the simple answer is, you know, people, there are the innovators embracing change. There are the masses kind of standing by the fence, looking over the fence, saying, what should we do? But the market is moving forward. But the easy answer is no one likes change.
Right. Now, is this something – are the consumers excited about it?
Depends who you ask.
Yeah, it depends who you ask. I think as these programs are put in place for the employee consumers, what is being proven is that they are working and the consumers are embracing them. But they have to be put in place by an employer that truly embraces the total solution and doesn't just cost shift with a high deductible plan, but puts a total population health and wellness program in place, puts a well-rounded supplemental health benefits program in place, and works on educating and communicating the value proposition to their employees and their families.
Well, that's so true. And the thing I like about everything Doug has said so far is he's not biased. I mean, it's interesting. We have a lot of people that have come on and talked about their feelings on healthcare reform. And I think sometimes, you know, when Lee asked the question about the consumer, oftentimes there's just misconception. And that's why I got so excited about the Health Reform Navigator, because some of these things are changing, you know, and they're changing yearly, monthly. I mean, it's hard to keep up with all of it. Nice to go to an expert like you for all the information.
I mean, it is changing every day. And I think with the upcoming election, it's probably going to change even more, depending on, you know, which way it goes.
So there's things in place right now that are already taking place on this reform?
Yes.
And then some things are delayed for a year or so?
2014 or, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it depends.
The majority of changes are coming in play in 2013 and 2014. But there are changes right now. And with the impending election, I mean, let's say the Republicans do, you know, change the balance of power in the House and the Senate, there's probably going to even be more change.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be.
One last time, give us the website and how people can sign up for this seminar, because it's not too late, right?
No, it's not too late, absolutely.
Okay.
And we actually have a discount program in place until September 2nd.
Okay.
But it's www.cdhcsolutionsforum.com. Or they can call us at 404-671-9551.
Terrific.
Great. Great job.
Thanks. You know what? I wasn't planning on going. I'm going to go.
You have to go.
Yeah. I actually have to go. Right. I'm looking at the lineup of people that are speaking, too.
Star-studded.
Well, in my industry, yes.
Your industry.
I'd like to shake John Young's hand. Absolutely. Wonderful. Thanks for being with us today, Doug. And I hope our listeners will go to the website and sign up. And if you do, I'll see you there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, cool. Amy and Lee. I appreciate it.
Our next guest today is Matt Davis with BMT Productions and Talent Promotions and Talent. And I know nothing about this business, so I can't wait. Very rarely do I do that. Usually I Google them and I search them and I hunt them down. But Matt, tell us all about it.
Sure. We're a staffing company. We staff promotions, trade shows, conventions, and something called experiential marketing events. So, for example, this convention that you have coming up, we would staff what I call the front of house people. So you walk into a convention, someone says, good morning, welcome to the blah, blah convention. Mm-hmm. Then you go up and you register. Someone registers you in. We do that. Then when you have the various breakout sessions, our folks do that as well. And then the other side of that is the experiential marketing and the trade show model part, where folks that are, I guess the easiest way to say it is cute people handing things out to you.
Ah.
So you just hang around attractive women.
It's funny. I often get that question. That is not exactly not exactly my job. But yes, we do hire folks of all walks of life, including some very attractive folks. And you know, anytime you've been to, if you've been to any sort of sporting event or a NASCAR event, and you see all the row of booths and people are handing out things, you know, mm-hmm. energy drinks, or there's a new television program they're promoting, we do all that kind of stuff as well.
So what was your background before you started the company?
Interestingly enough, I was attempting to make it in the entertainment business. I did stand-up, and I acted, and I sort of started as a day job. I was a guy that they would hire to hand stuff out.
You were the attractive guy.
I was the – like I said, it's not always attractive people. Folks, they started calling me and saying, you know, could you hire a few of your friends, or would you manage this event for us? And it was one of those moments where I never knew that I could be an entrepreneur until it sort of happened to me.
Right, like accidentally kind of fell into it.
Right. So sort of one day I woke up and said, well, I think I could do this.
Right.
Not knowing any better, not having any sort of degree or loans in the bank. I just sort of winged it, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend to everybody, but it worked for me.
It worked for you.
And then before I knew it, I said, honey, quit your job. We're making money. So.
Well, that's cool.
Is there a special skill these people have other than their looks?
Yeah. I mean, it's really what we're looking for is attractive, outgoing, personable, great attitude. You know, it's interesting. If you go to our website, which is bmtpromo.com, that's B as in boy, M as in Mary, T as in Tom, promo, bmtpromo.com, you'll see there's sort of three different types of folks that we staff. It's what they call brand ambassadors, promotional models, and then the registration and convention staff.
What's the interview look like?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that, actually, because someone that was on your program,
yes,
Mark Wilson, I believe his name is Mark Wilson from Ryla. He has the call center company.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I know worked for him, talked about this model that he used. And we already had our sort of set of standards, but when I heard what his model was, uh-huh. we pretty much just adopted it. And what we tell staff when they come in is, you know, doing these four things, which is fascinating because I listened to your program and I was like, I had already been doing it, and then I heard your program. It was just small world.
Right.
You know, we tell these folks, show up, be early, do what we ask you to do, and have a great attitude. And if you can do those four things, our commitment is that we'll be one of the best agencies you've ever worked for. You know, what we do different than our competition is that we really take the time to get to know these folks. And, you know, it's like that that story of Howard Schultz that runs Starbucks. When he first started Starbucks, they said, well, how did you get your people to smile all the time? And he says, I hire people that smile a lot. So
it makes it easier.
Right. Well, in our industry, unfortunately, the standards historically have been horribly low.
Mm-hmm.
And so when our clients come to us, they will say things to us like, wow, where did you find these people?
Right.
Or what are you putting in the water here in Atlanta? Because we've got a system in place that allows us to weed out, you know, sort of the folks that don't that make it. And we're pretty sure that it's what separates us from.
Right. So everyone. It's your corporate culture.
Exactly. And, you know, we tell folks if they don't show up for their interviews, you know, 15 minutes early, we pretty much don't see them.
Right.
And that's not something people typically see. And it's great for us because it does sort of weed those other folks out, and it mm-hmm. sets the tone for the folks that are in the room that like, wow, these guys are serious. And
do you get your work from mainly here in Atlanta or all over the country?
We actually staff nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's maybe half and half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically what will happen is a client will use us here, be really thrilled, and
right.
then they'll say, great, we've got an event.
Trade show in Las Vegas.
Correct, so. Exactly.
So how would you go about staffing? Like if you were here and the event is in Chicago, how do you deal with that?
Well, if it's a smaller show, We just do everything by phone and email, but just thoroughly screen everybody, you know, and do our process the way we do it. And if it's a large enough show, we pack up shop and go.
Oh, and you go over there yourself or your team?
We'll send our operations managers and they'll do that. For example, we've got two big San Francisco shows coming up back to back. One is DevCon, which is a BlackBerry show. And then right after that is Oracle Open World. So we do those kind of events. We'll set up shop and...
How do you train the people? Like, I know...
they hire people that smile.
Well, no, but you have to know the product.
Less training.
Because I used to do a lot of trade shows before, and...
You were one of the attractive people? Everybody in the room was the attractive person.
No, I was the smart person. I was the smart person that smiled a lot. But I know that there were other, you know, competitors of mine and other vendors that would hire someone. And I kept thinking to myself, well, how do they know the product? I mean... Are the people that you hire, do they just smile and hand things out, or do they actually have to be trained on product?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we get sort of two different types of calls, I think. And someone might say to us, listen, I got to be honest with you. I don't care how smart they are. We just want them to look really great and attract people to our booth.
Okay.
And I say, that's great. My recommendation is that you get someone that you can train and talk to about your product. We had a guy yesterday call us for the show we have out west. You know, for the booth, and they said, you know, we don't just want a pretty face. We really want someone that we can talk about the product and talk and tell you about the product to a certain point.
Because they're representing the brand.
Of course. So it really is sort of client specific, how much training and time they want to put into it. You know, for a large product, for a large event where it's, let's say, 40 brand ambassadors. So they're going to have 40 people, you know, at a, let's say, a NASCAR event over the course of 3 days. You know, we're going to probably have a whole training 2 hours or so a couple days before, so they can go, great, here's all the talking points. And these folks that really love to do it, that's what they do.
They want that information, right?
Yeah. Right.
Because it helps them be more personable.
Right. And they're excited to be excited. So it's like, hey, give me the product, give me the taglines. I'm happy to go make it happen.
I'm excited to be excited quite often. I like that. I do like that. So why Atlanta and not L.A. or New York or an area that you think of as having more talent or in need of talent?
Well, there's a lot of trade shows here, right?
Yeah, well, I actually, we were talking earlier, I grew up here. I grew up in Marietta, and I always knew that I wanted to raise my family here whenever that day came, and it just sort of happened. We got, my wife and I got married, we had our first kid, and we said, we don't want to raise our kids in L.A., let's move, and she's from San Francisco, I'm from here, and it was sort of a cost of living choice.
Right, it was a tough cost of living choice, right?
Right, and so because of the nature of what we do, most of the companies that hire us know that we can do what we do from anywhere, so Atlanta has been, I would say, the perfect choice almost, because I actually had more contacts here than I knew of.
Right.
And it's turned out to be great.
So, but you started in California, in the West Coast?
Correct. I was in Los Angeles, and that's where I'd started.
So you had already had a kind of a reputation there, and then you moved here?
Yeah. I mean, looking back, I was just barely sort of my first couple of years, I think, like most new entrepreneurs, kind of figuring out and finding my way. But then moving here, things seemed to sort of take off. So.
Well, that's great. So I have a friend in Chicago who's an MC for Monster Truck Jam and volleyball and all kinds of different events. He's always got great stories, so I'm sure you have one. Something crazy that's happened to you while promoting a product or emceeing an event.
Sure, yeah. I used to sort of, you know, I used to do that kind of thing. And I'd say one of the more interesting jobs, I guess, early on was that I was dressed up as a large potato. I forget what the product was for, but when you're dressed in a costume, kids and people under the influence think that they can tackle you. So I would find myself just sort of on the ground all of a sudden and not know what happened.
And that's when you learned about having a handler. You need somebody near you to protect you at all times.
Exactly.
A handler.
Right. And sometimes you have the handler, and in this case, as the big potato.
Didn't matter.
I did not.
So when I apply, should I apply as a talent handler? Or an actual talent person. That's pretty funny because they probably do have a handler.
They do. They have somebody that walks behind the mascots.
No doubt. So how do you network? How do you find your folks?
For business or for staff?
Both.
You know, for business, obviously we're building a reputation, and so folks find us. But I actually enjoy good old-fashioned cold calling. You know, it's my company. And I enjoy talking about it. So once we got past the point where I didn't have to do the day-to-day staffing, it sort of freed me up to do
So who do you talk to?
So it's a couple different things. A lot of marketing companies hire us. We're strictly B2B, so most folks in the street wouldn't have heard of these companies.
Right.
But, you know, Coca-Cola hires the big marketing agency, and the big marketing agency hires us.
You, right.
But for trade shows, it could go either way. An organization itself, like yours might, or, you know, the dental association, or there's a large production company out of whatever state that says, hey, we're bringing the show to town. And they have, you know, they have to get all the local vendors. They have to get the AV people. They have to get the speakers. They have to get the staffing piece, and they call us for the staffing piece. We're like the last piece of the puzzle for everybody, because it's the same on the experiential marketing events. There's a marketing company that's put together a tour and a truck and branded things, and then they say, hey, you're the last piece of the puzzle. You're the people, and that's what we provide.
Now, in the economy, it seems that I've heard a lot that trade shows are kind of scaling down, that less people are attending, and maybe more of the buyers are attending, but they used to bring everybody, and now it's less. Has that impacted your business at all?
I would say that I'm a big believer in focusing on what's positive and making that happen, and that seems to have worked for me. And so there are certainly people that are doing less,
mm-hmm.
we just find the folks that are still doing it.
Right.
And if you look at the Georgia World Congress Center calendar, it's full.
Cool.
And so that's who we go after. And I think attendance might be down, but for the most part, people are still staffing it at the same rate. So we're able to find those people.
And do they dictate kind of what they want? Like our next guest, I can't wait to talk to him, but say there was a sausage convention.
Right.
I mean, an attractive woman wearing a skimpy outfit probably doesn't do it for sausage. What would you pick for talent on that one?
I think
in a room full of men. I can't believe I just said that in a room full of men. All right. But I mean, do people kind of say, I would like, you know, do people ever request someone more seasoned or older?
No, absolutely. And I try to steer them that way. I mean, age is a different question. But I would certainly say that, you know, if somebody says we want people that look like Pam Anderson, mm-hmm. I would say, okay, I can most likely find you that, but that's probably not necessarily the best representation of your brand.
Right.
I'd rather get you somebody who's still attractive, outgoing, personable, and, you know, can speak intelligently about your product. And I would say that for the most part, the age thing is that they typically want, you know, I'd say 18 to 25, but on the trade show side, it's usually more seasoned folks, because, you know, car shows, those kind of people need to speak intelligently for hours and hours and hours, and they need a script.
And it's physically demanding, isn't it, to stand on that cement floor for that long?
And wearing 8-inch heels.
Right.
You try that sometime.
and I do hope folks go to the web and see that we are much more than people in skimpy outfits.
No, I believe that, definitely. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, you've probably made some mistakes along the way. You've learned how to correct them. Your business is really growing. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You know, my initial goal was when it was just to make some money, like just to put food on the table. And then as we've grown and grown, I thought, well, what do I want to do with this thing? Do we want to buy other folks and become the giant of our industry?
Right. Is there a giant of your industry?
There are two big giants of our industry, the sort of the Coke and Pepsi of our industry, and then there's the rest of us. And so I thought...
You're Dr. Pepper?
Something like that. Maybe we're Mountain Dew. I'm not sure. But I thought, do we want to sell our business? Do we want to buy other businesses? And I think at this point, we just want to keep doing what we do best and providing the best service we can provide and sort of see what
happens,
sort of how the road takes us. Like keep getting people great jobs and keep offering our clients the best people at every turn, and then sort of see how it goes.
That's great.
So if you're looking for someone that smiles and gets excited about getting excited, or if you're looking for a job, where can folks go to find you?
Sure. They can find us at bmtpromo.com. If you're local, you can set up an appointment with us to come and meet. We're in the little Five Points area. So you can come interview and then hang and shop and get a tattoo and that kind of thing.
There you go. One-stop shop.
No doubt. All right, I'm not going to put you on the spot now, but I'm going to come back to you at the end of the show. If you did stand-up, you got to close the show with something funny.
I am pressure's on.
I am long since retired from...
Well, I'll give you 15 minutes, all right? I'll be right back at you. But until then, I'm going to get really excited. My mouth's going to be watering as I salivate over Sausage World. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Mattia Pace.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Sausage World, I mean, when I got the request for y'all to be on the show, of course I got all excited because I love to eat. And if Matt ever needs someone that's old and likes to cook but smiles a lot, I would.
That'd be you.
Yeah. But I love to eat and I love to cook and I love sausage. So you got to tell us all about it and how I've been missing out.
You have been missing out, especially if you love sausage. Definitely not what you find in stores. We do a much better job, I have to say. What really sets us apart is we mix and prepare everything in store ourselves at our facility in Lilburn. As far as the meat and the seasoning, we mix it all together. We put it together. We try and use the best products. We're a family-owned business. My freezer's full of all sorts of our flavors, half-open packs. And, you know, we don't want to eat it if it's not going to be, you know, good quality meat and flavor.
So what is, like, if you go to a grocery store and buy, you know, one of these,
sure,
whatever they're called, corporate sausage.
Sure.
What makes, like, what are they doing that's kind of degrading their product?
I think that's the scary part. I'm not sure what they're doing.
You're not sure?
Because we...
you couldn't replicate it in your lab.
If it was a complicated business, I think we would keep it, you know, we would do what we needed to do to put the best
right
and the finest sausage out there. But it's simple. Simple ingredients. It just needs care and attention.
So they're just, when they're doing it in kind of a mass way, they're kind of losing some of the quality?
I would think so. I know a lot of times, even if it's not the bits of, say, pork, even if they do use all the meat, it turns out that it has a much higher percentage of fat, which...
Fat or fillers or things that take up space and weight.
But we have no fillers and no preservatives. That definitely takes up... that definitely gives it a different flavor in it.
Right.
It adds something to it.
I was in Italy recently, and when I got back, people would say, what was your favorite part? And I was like, well, I'm torn between the wine...
Always.
The cathedrals and the chapels and the sausage. I mean, the sausage was so good.
I'm glad
good.
You think so.
I mean, I probably ate sausage three meals a day and had wine three meals a day, which maybe it was a combination. But tell me, what's the deal with Italy and the sausage?
Well, we are from Abruzzo. It's central Italy on the east coast on the Adriatic Sea. And there it's a mountainous country, and we end up having a lot of shepherds and sheep. So we actually do a lamb sausage inspired from that. But there you just have, well, you'll find, like my grandfather in Italy, he makes his own wine. Everybody kind of does this thing. That isn't, they don't sell it. Maybe they'll give it to family or friends or things like that. But there's still that tradition. And so I think the difference would be someone there in Italy who makes his own sausage or his own wine goes into a store and buys something there already. He has a standard. It's his standard, mm-hmm. or a neighbor's standard, or even regional in Abruzzo. We do things that you won't find in Milan or Florence, and vice versa. So I think it's just this very local kind of, not necessarily pride, but mentality.
It's like you're a craftsman.
Almost,
just,
yeah.
You know, you're just really definitely passionate about it, and it's, you know, kind of your own thing.
It's the sausage is our art. I never thought that would, you know, when I was a kid dreaming of what I would be when I grew up. Never thought that.
Be a sausage maker one day.
I couldn't be happier.
So how do you feel about Food Network and some of the other, like, highbrow cooking snobs calling it tube steak? I don't like that.
You know, I see where you're coming from and why you don't like that. I don't, you know, I don't mind it. A lot of people describe ours, to get their kids to eat it, they describe it as a gourmet hot dog, mm-hmm. which is... I think one step below.
What's the difference between what makes a hot dog and what makes a sausage? What's the difference?
Remember when you asked what the big chains do to their sausages? Well, I really don't know where the hot dog
the hot dog is totally unknown. That's a secret recipe.
Probably.
So you couldn't make a hot dog.
We actually, we had a customer come by. I think it was a one-time customer. All he needed was either a show or maybe like a family reunion type thing. He needed an all-beef hot dog that was about, I mean, it was, diameter was a little bit smaller than a silver dollar. Mm-hmm. So it was a big hot dog. And they were delicious. So I still actually have some of those. So we can do that.
So you did make it. So you make to order?
We can do that. We can do that.
Wow, Amy, that's right up your alley.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to hear about the flavors, all the different combinations.
Yeah, what are some of the flavor choices you have?
Well, some of my favorites are bratwurst.
I love bratwurst. I'm German.
That's German, right?
Yes. You should definitely try our bratwurst.
With sauerkraut, a beer, spicy mustard, rye bread.
A bratwurst is a German sausage?
Bratwurst is German, yes, sir. Yeah. And we also do the Polish kielbasa. We have two Spanish sausages, a smoked Spanish-style chorizo and a fresh one. Our website, www.sausageworldinc.com, lists everything we have. We do Colombian flavors, Uruguayan, Argentinian, German, the kielbasa, the Italian, hot Italian, mild Italian. The abruzzese is a special Italian, one of my favorites, because obviously where we're from. We don't use a lot of fennel in my region there in Abruzzo, so it's a sausage with not a lot of fennel, a little bit of garlic, some salt, a couple other spices. And
where do you get these recipes?
Can't tell you.
These are all, like, you make them up yourself, or they're family recipes, or... you're not going on the internet, right, and looking up sausage?
The Italian ones that come from experience.
Right.
Some of the other ones we'll... like our bratwurst, we got that recipe from a German man who gave that to us, and we went and tried it out. But that is what we do. We try out the recipe.
Right.
And we move from there. Last week, we had our fresh Spanish sausage. I guess I give my dad a hard time sometimes. He had a fresh Spanish tree, so he wanted me to try. It wasn't spicy. It was savory. It was delicious. Tried it. And then the next week, he came back. He said, hey, you got to try this fresh Spanish chorizo. I said, you know, I think you were losing it. I already tried that last week. He said, no. Changed it again. It's like, oh, okay. That happens quite often. Change the flavors around.
Wow.
Give it a shot again. And usually the clients like it. So.
Do you have any that you just say, this is the recipe and you can count on this every week, we'll have this?
Once we settle on something, yeah. Uh-huh. That's the way it turns out. So once we're happy with it, we're happy with it.
What day is testing day and what time should I be there?
What day is testing day? Saturday is at the Sandy Springs Farmers Market on Johnson Ferry.
Oh,
are you
yeah.
there?
It's a new new farmers market there.
Yeah.
They opened this year, and it's been great for us. I love it. Find new fans every week. And old
great.
Fans, actually, come back and are happy to see us there, actually getting there. To the people. Our main business is food service industry, restaurants, caterers, et cetera. But we definitely would like to put it more into the hands of just people cooking it for dinner or cooking it for their friends for barbecue, special occasions. I think Atlanta's got, it's kind of a foodie town to me now, but it's not as big as some of the other ones. You know, it's not Austin or anything like that you always hear about. Like you said, the Food Network has been great. I think just educating, enlightening people as to what's out there. I think exposure is good for people. And it's been good for us, I think. I think there has been a correlation.
Do you ship your sausage? Like if somebody, can they order online and you ship it to?
That's been a little bit of trouble for us now, just for the cost.
Right.
Especially for the customer. We do have distribution for food service in other states. But we definitely, being small helps. It has its perks in that we can work with you kind of face-to-face and maybe see what we can do.
Great.
So can I come by and pick it up?
Sure, you can definitely come
by.
Man,
you are just working this, aren't you, Amy?
I am. I'm definitely working this.
She wants the sausage.
Yeah, I do. That's so wild because that's one of the first things if I go to a gourmet food market is I go
you
right
go to
this
their house to sample the... That's what you do?
Well, my grandma, I grew up making sausage with my grandma
and
going through that whole casing process and stuff. And those were great memories.
You have the recipes?
I
know
have
somebody
recipes.
Who might be interested.
They're German.
We can maybe put that together for you.
But the interesting thing is it was such a bonding experience. It's like people can and pickle and stuff. Well, my family made sausage, and that was so much fun. And, I mean, it was if you got a Christmas gift from my family, it was our German sausage. And,
I think that's great.
You know,
that might be a neat thing to do, like have an event where you invite people in there to go and make their own sausage.
That's a good idea. It goes back to what you said about Italy. That's the difference is there. You know, my grandfather made his own sausage. They made their own wine. They raised their own chickens like you do, so they all knew. There was a connection there. So there's somewhere where you can kind of make the comparison to your own personal life and see what is this product.
Oh, that's terrific. So it's family-owned, sounds
yes,
like.
Yes.
And how long have you all been in business?
Well, it was started in 86. I believe in 92 we were certified by the USDA, and in 96 is when my father stepped in and took the reins there, and I've been involved for several years now, especially ever since I graduated from Georgia State.
Terrific.
A degree in sausage?
I wish. Economics, actually.
So that's a logical connection.
It's easier than sausage, anyway. Nobody knows what's going on.
So give us a website.
www.sausageworldinc.com. And any questions, I can be reached at 678-887-3347. Also for... placing orders, take those calls and emails all the time.
And then on Saturdays, they can find you at the Sandy Springs Farmers Market if they want to.
Yes, it's there. There's a Target on Johnson Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
It is in that shopping center there. From 8 to noon, we're there, as long as it's not raining. It's hard to grill sausage with the rain.
Oh, so you're grilling them right there on the spot?
Why have we never seen them? Abby goes to the farmer's market. I can't believe I've never seen
You should have smelled this before you've seen us.
Yeah, really.
So when are you going to start the Sausage of the Month Club? Because I'm a big fan of like the hot sauce of the month. It's a great gift. I get bacon of the month now.
Bacon of the month.
Olive of the month.
I could do bacon of the week.
And I always just... You're looking for
a sausage of the month vendor.
I drop those subtle hints to my family because my birthday's on Christmas. They never know what to buy me. So I'm like, how about bacon of the month? You know, and then I just give them the website, sausage of the month. That would be a really good one.
We're always looking for somewhere to, you know, to get it into people's hands and let them use it and cook it in their own kitchens for their own families and their friends. So I think we'll work on that with you.
Can you talk about the restaurants that use your stuff or that's secret?
Good question.
Secret.
I don't know. Maybe
but
a little bit
fine,
of
fine restaurants every fine restaurants around town.
Yes, absolutely.
So some of the top chefs really don't make those sausages in the back.
Some of them don't. Some of them do. There's a couple great places here in Atlanta that make theirs in the back, which I like.
Yeah.
So I definitely won't tell you their name. No. But some of them don't, believe it or not. And some of them don't use people as good as us, I guess I should say.
No doubt. So to end your segment before we go back for the jokester, I want to know.
You can't put the pressure on him. He's freaking out over there.
No, he's not. What's your favorite recipe to make with sausage?
My favorite recipe. I like any of our sausages grilled.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people say you can't really grill chicken sausage, but our chicken sausage always... It takes some effort to dry them out and to make them, to take away that flavor. I like them grilled and I like them fried mostly.
Yeah, it's hard to get that, the marks too on the chicken or the turkey.
That's, you need a grill master for that, I guess, a grill meister.
Interesting, because they just don't look good. Maybe that's it. I like the toughness, like when you bite into it.
On the grill, it's easier to get that. If you fry it, you have to do it slow to get that crispiness on the outside. Yeah. I like them grilled, fried, and I'll take our lamb sausage or one of our Italian sausage, and usually our hot Italian, chop it up, brown it with garlic and onions, and then finish it off in a pasta sauce, and that usually keeps my friends happy.
And a little glass of wine, red wine.
Or two.
Or ten. All right, great. Thanks so much for being with us today. And gosh, I got to go to the website and check out all the flavors.
Yeah, please.
And
please,
you know, maybe each week I need to update our listeners on the sausage
on
update.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Could be a segment on the show.
Sausage of the week instead of the month, no doubt. Well, thanks so much for being with us
today. Thank you.
And Matt, I'm not going to put you on the spot if you aren't up for it.
Well, I just want to say, you know, it has been a while, and I see on now people started comedy last week, have like 10 videos on the web, and looking at that stuff, I'm like, wow, I could have marketed myself so much better. But I'm sure the comics, you know, when I came around, they said, oh, well, we didn't even have videotapes. We had to send the clubs an audio tape of ourselves. Right, exactly, record. So, I'm long since retired, but if you want to hang out with me, I'm sure I'm plenty of laughs. I actually, Amy, we certainly could use someone like you. I know you're a very busy woman. I looked at your LinkedIn, and I know you guys do about 27 radio programs, but... you know what we need, attractive, well-spoken, that's you. We could certainly, if we could afford you, I'm not sure we could, but... Or we could.
I don't know. Lee pays me pretty well here.
I don't know.
Maybe if you tempted me with some sausage, I might come.
Well, you could buy her with food.
Sausage, bacon, and red wine. Now you know all my hot buttons.
All right, great. I will look into that.
All right. Wonderful. That was good.
You opened the door for that.
I did, and he turned it right back at me. Wow. All right. Well, until next week, I hope you have a wonderful week, and I guess I might see some people at the medical show, right?
That's right.
Terrific. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.